So are you the new Snoop Dogg? The white Snoop Dogg?
I'm the white Snoop Dogg.
Wait, or well, you're half Hispanic, so is it like Pitbull? I don't use Pitbull Hispanic. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Alfonso Berry, listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramon, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, episode 44? I don't even remember what episode we're on.
Is it 40, it's 45.
Is it 45?
I want to say it's 45.
It's 45, yes.
It's yes.
And a half.
It is 45. Episode 40, we're counting down to 50. And so, this is your host, Mark.
This is Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Sausage.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
And good Frank T. Sausage?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, sausage and biscuit.
Sausage and biscuit.
Those do go together well, but not when it involves Frank.
So, you mean sausage party?
No, just sausage.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
That's your parties, Matt.
This is kind of a sausage party right now. It's kind of scary. It's just us home with my son.
Yeah.
The wife and the baby are shopping at Target. So it's
and then
kind of
there's a male dog in the backyard,
yeah,
too. Even the dog is male.
It's, well, he's not in the backyard. He's somewhere around
he's
here.
He's somewhere over here.
Oh, because he's not bugging us as usual.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sausage fest of an episode today.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking Superman, so it's even more sausage fest.
There
it's
we super go. Sausage.
So,
well, there's Wonder Woman, so.
So it's only been a few days. For people that don't know, we just released our Batman episodes. We're getting ready for Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. And we're recording just a few days later, but you may not get this episode till a few days after we record. So, doing a couple shows real quick here for you, coming up on the Easter weekend, in which we will be, hopefully, that bring you a Batman v Superman Dawn Justice review episode that weekend at some point. So that's what's happening in the Rebel Radio Podcast as we count down to 50 episodes. And so, like I said, we're going to be talking Superman a little bit here today. We're talking about his history and media and everything. And remember, you can find everything that goes on with the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Make sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe and rate us. Just take a few seconds to rate us. We'd really appreciate it. Android users, you can find us on Stitcher. And we are also on the Houston Nerdcasting Collective at HoustonNerd.org. And you can also find us on the TangentBoundPC.com network. So lots of places you can find the Rebel Radio Podcast. Before we get into Superman, though, we got to mess with the electric monkey over here a little bit, Matt. Matt likes apps, people. He's an app guy. He's been an app guy for years. I think me and Frank, we've been a victim of some of his prank calling on his app.
Yeah. Tons
so
of prank
So now
calls.
Matt thinks he's some sort of dubstep, dub smash expert, creating these ridiculous rap songs and sending to him.
Yes.
And because he has so much free time, apparently, in his life. So, Matt, let's...
He does it while he's driving.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of this rap you created on some website.
Well,
what is
I
this?
Mean,
I don't even... Who gives a fuck what the website is? Just play it.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Hello, it's me, Donald. I'm going to take your woman. I'm going to bend her over and take it to Pantone. Because I'm the fucking governor. And then I'm going to come after John Connor. And I'm going to shove him up your ass.
What? What is that, Frank? It sounds like a midget impersonating Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, you could have kept playing
person?
It for people. I mean, you know.
Well, there's more.
There's more?
Just like OxyClean.
These are not the toys you're looking for. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly...
So are you the new Snoop Dogg? The white Snoop Dogg?
I'm the white Snoop Dogg.
Wait, or... Well, you're half Hispanic, so is it like Pitbull? I don't use Pitbull Hispanic.
It,
I don't know.
Pitbull
I'm not
Hispanic?
Sure.
I don't know what it is.
Just like a bald dude raps, you know? So... What, Matt? What are you possessed by an alien?
I think, you know, there is a force that binds us together. And
is that what it is?
Dubstep.
Is that called your wife has your balls so tight that you have to release your creative freedom somewhere?
I just have to, you know, whenever I'm, you know, out and about, just randomly doing stuff, like making dubstep rap.
Matt, just remember, it's Mark that's totally dogging you on this. So when you become a famous
whatever, bitch.
And you're at the pool with all the hotties and they're shaking their butts, Just remember your boy Biscuit.
Oh, bitch. In the car when we were driving around trying to fix my lawnmower. Man, I was telling you about it. You're like, oh, we're going to dog him on this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now you're backing up. Oh, all right. I see how this is.
I see big booty shaking in the future.
I see a bitch on the other side.
Women in stormtrooper uniforms just shaking it.
And we are. Yeah. So we're going to talk about one of the most famous aliens ever today, Superman. But a big announcement today. Comicpalooza, we're from Houston, Texas. We record here in Houston, Texas. Announced the Aliens cast, 30th anniversary of the Aliens movie. They're going to have Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton. Game over, man.
Yes.
Michael Biehn, who also is AKA Johnny Ringo from Tombstone, and Kyle Reese from Terminator.
Heck yeah.
They're going to have Paul Reiser, Lance Henriksen, who played Bishop. They're going to have the girl who played Vasquez. I don't remember her name. They're going to have the young lady that played Newt, much older now, obviously. This is fucking cool. I mean, this has never happened in the U.S. before. The Aliens cast will be at Comicpalooza. You can bet your bottom dollar that the Rebel Radio crew will be there. We will be at the Aliens panel to report back on what we hear. This is exciting. In what we do, we see a lot of things. We go to shows. We see a lot of geek stuff. I don't get super excited very often. I'm like, that's cool. Jeremy Renner's there. Oh, that's cool. It's Stan Lee.
Yeah.
But this is freaking awesome. It's a movie. Yeah. That, along with Star Wars and some of the other films I grew up that inspired me to like what I like, Aliens is in that list. It has to be. It's still one of my favorite sci-fi films of all time.
I mean, next to the Thing and the Blob, it's one of the best horror sci-fis of all time. I mean, like in the classic realm of horror sci-fi.
Right.
It's like actually better than those, in a sense, but it's up there, like, as classic.
You're excited for Michael Biehn, I know.
Yeah.
You're a big Terminator fan. We just played your stupid Arnold Schwarzenegger rap.
I want to go up to him, and, like, whenever he takes a picture
don't
with me...
Don't play that.
On your feet, soldier. And
Well, I met Michael Biehn a few years ago at Comicpalooza. He was there as Michael Biehn was in the Aliens cast. He was very cool. He was very sick. I don't know if you remember, Frank. He wasn't feeling well. He said, man, I'm not feeling real good this weekend. He had a flu or something, but he toughed it out and came to Comicpalooza.
Wow.
And I talked to him for a few minutes, and he was a very super nice guy. I have a picture of him somewhere. He let us take a picture. He was really cool. So really exciting for people here in Houston, Comicpalooza 2016 at the George R. Brown Convention Center, June 17th, 18th, and 19th. The cast of Aliens are also going to have Kate Beckinsale there.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Heck yeah, dude.
If she was a robot, she'd be Robo-Babe.
Yes.
You know, and
if she was a president, she'd be Babraham Lincoln. Yeah,
Elijah Dushku. If she was a bubblegum, she'd be Babalicious.
Yes.
You know, so a good Comicpalooza lineup so far, and they're not done. They're going to announce more. It's going to be a very exciting year. But let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. We are getting ready for Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I'm dramatic.
Yes.
You know, I'm excited. I'm getting more excited. We're 9 days away. I haven't bought my tickets yet. I was going to sit down today and do it. I just didn't get around to doing it.
Me too.
And so we talked Batman in the last episode. We talked about Batman and media and our exposure to him and everything. So today we're talking Superman, the other half of the V Superman or Batman V. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes,
so,
the other part of the V.
Okay, Superman over the years. Okay, he was 1938. He came around. Action Comics number one, which is our We Got You Covered for the week. Our comic book pick is Action Comics number one. Here's this guy who instantly brought comics into the golden age. He appeared, superhero, super strength. He can fly faster than a speeding bullet, can leap tall buildings in a single bound. And people immediately identified him during a time in America when people were immigrating here. People were moving from Europe during the Industrial Revolution. And here's this alien that's sent to Earth by his parents because his planet's being destroyed. And it was an easily identifiable character.
Right.
And he still is today, right?
Yeah, because he personas a lot of things that we kind of wish we could do ourselves. You know, people wish they could fly. People wish they were invincible.
We wish we were Dean Cain with Terry Hatcher.
We all wish we could see through things, if you know what I mean.
True. And so Superman instantly is one of the most first superheroes that came into comic books. And the early forms of media, since we're discussing, we all know Superman's history in comics, his villains, Lex Luthor, Brainiac, the death of Superman in the 1990s was a famous comic story, but we're talking media Superman as we get ready for him to reappear in a film for the first time since 2011 or 12, Man of Steel? 2012 was Man of Steel. Yeah, so...
it's been that long?
Yeah, it has been. It's been four. It might have been 13. I don't remember. 12, yeah, no, 13. I think it was 13. Yeah, it's been 13 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2000, because 12 was Dark Knight Rises, 13 was Man of Steel. So it's been 3 years since Superman's been back on screen, because it seems like we've been talking about this movie for 3 years, because they announced it at Comic-Con, it seems like, in 13 or 14. I don't remember. Yeah. It seems like it's taking forever for the film to finally hit theaters. Mm-hmm. But the early forms of Superman were the movie serials, which he appeared, of course, if you don't know, back then in the 1940s, they had movie serials before films instead of trailers, because the trailers... The word trailer comes from, they came at the end of the film. You had to wait till the movie was over. When you were done watching an old, a Western, you waited until the end of the movie, you saw the trailers, because they trailed the movie.
Yeah, the credits were at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, the coming attractions were at the end. But before the movie, they would show a movie serial that usually had cowboys or mobsters, Flash Gordon, science fiction stories, invaders from space, and they had Zorro. Was a famous one. And they had Batman and Superman. And the Superman got his start in serials, and that it was a big thing because it gave him exposure to people that had not read the comics. And from there, Superman only continued to take off. To George Reeves' show, where he played Superman, a live-action TV show. And for our parents, that was probably their first exposure to Superman. But for us, I think it was 1979's Superman the movie starring Christopher Reeve.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know for me, that was probably the first comic book superhero film I ever saw, because it was the first of its kind. And I still love the movie to this day. Christopher Reeve, God rest his soul, was still probably my favorite Superman. I like what Henry Cavill has done with the role. I didn't even hate Brandon Routh in Superman Returns. We'll get to that later. But nothing beats Christopher Reeve. And I know, Frank, Christopher Reeve has a strong place in your heart, too.
Oh, yeah. To me, he carried that part so well that... At first, it was hard to see anybody else in that role, like from TV series.
Such a good Kent.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you embrace both parts of his character the way he played them. You know, he was a wholesome, sweet guy as, you know, Clark, and then Superman, he was still that, like, distinguished, you know, superhero.
Do-gooder, could only do good, good for the sake of good kind of guy.
Yeah, and inspired people to do good. Unless you're like Lex Luthor, then that's a lost cause.
Gene Hackman.
But we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. But Christopher Reeve, you're right, embodied Superman. And Matt, when was the first time do you remember seeing Superman in the movie? First time? I know you were born after it came out.
I want to say the first Superman I saw was number 3.
Okay.
Because
maybe not the best taste in your mouth for the first one, but yeah.
Well, as a kid, you just see Superman flying around, and you're like, whoa, this is an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me and my cousin used to think Kevin Costner's Robin Hood was the best movie ever when it came out, because it had arrows on fire.
I still like that movie, though.
Yeah.
It has an awesome song. Anyway, back on track.
But yeah, that was my first... intro to it.
So you had to go back and watch Superman the movie. And it's a little slow, fair enough, but it was a different time. It was before we're used to these kinetically paced, short attention span superhero movies we have now. Let's get to the action. And they have to now, they now create the Avengers films and these Marvel films. They have to create the story around the action. And that's just true, because people don't want to see a talky comic book movie. They want to see action. But Superman the movie was a different time, where they created... they actually built the story. Had a great cast, Marlon Brando playing Jor-El, who didn't want to do it. They paid him, Marlon Brando, a lot of money, because he thought, similar to Alec Guinness doing Star Wars, he's like, this is stupid. I'm not going to read this stuff. Marlon Brando felt the same way. I don't want to read this, you know?
Yeah.
But he did it for the money. Gene Hackman. I mean, come on, he's Hackman, one of the greatest actors of our time. Still the best Lex Luthor. Kevin Spacey did a great job in Superman Returns, but I still will take Hackman any day.
Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to see how Heisenberg, this isn't Breaking Bad, Jesse Eisenberg does. I'm really, because I think he's a great young actor, so I am interested to see what he does with the role. But there's so much to love about Superman the movie. And it broke new ground in the sense that comic books kind of came from the convenience stores on the end of the street to the big screen. And people were like, at that point, they only had Batman 1966. That was most people's exposure to comic books on TV. They had the Hulk on television, late 70s, early 80s. But comic books, as far as big screen, people weren't sure what to do. And Superman the movie brought comics to the big screen.
You know what I still like about that movie? The opening credits, when all the names are zooming in at you and stuff.
It's some of the greatest opening credits of all time.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I like about Superman Returns, which we'll get to in here once we get to that movie. So, from Superman the movie, now Superman is at this point, one of the biggest superheroes in the world.
Yeah.
At this point, Batman has not had his takeoff yet. Batman was known as being silly from the television show. He wasn't taken seriously yet because Dark Knight Returns has not come out, or Tim Burton's movie. So right. Superman is now the biggest Superman character in the world. While Marvel is over there trying to make Spider-Man on television, which was ridiculous because they were trying to capture their popularity of the Hulk TV show. But here is Warner Brothers DC getting a Superman film out into theaters. And my fondest memories, I always remember Superman, the movie, like, the different version. I remember seeing the alternate version on television with all the added scenes on it. And for years you couldn't find it. And now, of course, it's available in the Blu-rays and things like that. And that's some of my early memories of Superman the movie. I probably saw it in theaters. I was young. I don't remember. But I remember watching it on TV and thinking, wow, this is cool, man. This guy flies. This is Superman. You know, and it was fantastic. And then along came Superman 2, which is, to this day, maybe my favorite Superman film. I really enjoyed Man of Steel, but Superman 2 was something about that movie. It's still my favorite Superman movie. If I was to rank them, like similar like we talked about if we had ranked the Batman films, I think I would still have Superman 2 as my favorite film.
Yeah, me as well.
You get introduced to General Zod and his crew, and there are two different versions of that film as well. And I just remember Superman 2 being that film that on Saturday matinee, you'd always stop and watch it, right?
Yeah. And I like the fact that he was willing to give up his power and be just a regular Joe.
To save the people of Earth.
Yeah. You know, and has the romance between him and Lois, you know, started to bloom a lot more in that, you know, movie. So I really like that. But then the whole scene in the restaurant.
Where oh,
the
yes.
Guy beats him up. After he gave up his powers, and then he returns and throws him to the pinball machine.
Yes. When I was watching that as a kid, man, I didn't like it. I'm like, man, Superman's getting beat up. I was all scared. And I was like, this sucks. You know, it's frightening as a child, you know?
Yeah. And I still hate that scene.
And then there was the mythical, a lot of people don't know, Richard Donner. The whole idea was in 1978, they were going to film Superman and Superman 2 back to back. Originally, it kind of started at one movie, but the script was so long that Richard Donner went to the studio and said, you know, this is almost two movies. So they were just going to split it up, which nowadays is common. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, right. They have filmed a lot of movies back to back, the Hobbit films, things like that. But in 1977, 78, when they were filming Superman, that was unheard of. So Richard Donner had filmed half of Superman 2 before he was fired by the producers of Warner Brothers because he was fighting with the studio over the film. That's one reason there were some cuts made to Superman the movie, and they had to go back in and cut it for the Blu-ray releases. And Superman 2, they brought in a new director who refilmed a lot of stuff. Like the silly scene where he takes the thing off his chest and throws it at that guy.
Yeah.
That's not in the original Superman 2 cut. That was brought in by Richard Lester, who brought in to direct the movie. And a lot of people don't even know that. In the Richard Donner cut, which was mythical for ages, rumor is it aired on TV in Europe like one time because there was a websites out there where you could go look up all this stuff about the Richard Donner cut. And they did finally release the Richard Donner cut on Blu-ray a few years ago. And if you haven't watched it, take the time to watch it. It's not a complete film. In fact, there's a scene there they use test footage from Christopher Reeve and I can't remember the lady's name who plays.
Margot Kidder.
And it's their screening footage that they work into there, and Clark Kent or Christopher Reeve looks a little younger, his hair's not quite done, but they work in the Richard Donner cut to complete the film. And it's still, there's a lot of Richard Lester stuff still in there because they didn't have all the Richard Donner cut stuff, but it's still a cool cut of the film, and I actually like it a little better than the original cut.
Speaking about Margot Kidder, do you feel like maybe she was underwhelming as a Lois, like as far as beautiful
a bit,
was?
A bit.
I mean, who thinks Margot Kidder is like super hot?
Yeah, and
is anyone?
No.
Right.
I'll take who's the girl in the new one? Amy Adams.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Adams is pretty good. The Lois that was in Superman Returns wasn't bad. What's her name?
No.
I can't remember all these actresses' name all the time. Name.
No, but at least she was still more of a daring Lois. You know, she didn't play the.
She did have the wit about her.
She had the wit.
Margot Kidder had the wit. Like, oh, I'm going to lay here and wait on Superman to save me.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, when it came to the whole when they were over in France and the bomb was on the Eiffel Tower, she wasn't afraid to go.
And that's not in the Richard Donner cut. All that's cut out because that was all filmed by Lester because they wanted a bigger opening sequence. That's one thing Warner Bros. Felt. And even the Richard Donner cut, none of the Eiffel Tower stuff's in there.
Really?
Yeah, because it wasn't part of the original cut of the film. That's not how they envisioned it.
Oh, wow.
See, Superman 2, it was originally supposed to be more of a direct sequel to right after the events of Superman the movie, where he reverses time and all that. You know, and so yeah, you guys
actually like that whole Eiffel Tower scene.
I do, but you guys, we'll have to have a Richard Donner cut viewing. You'll see the differences, and you'll really like the Richard Donner cut. And of course, Hackman was back for Superman 2. He's not in as much because he's Zod and his men, and Hackman tries to make a deal with Zod, and of course Hackman wants to betray Superman even though he tries to make a deal with him.
Yeah,
you know,
he's like, "Why do we need you?" And he's like, "Lex Luthor's wit."
And Michael Shannon did great as Zod in Man of Steel, but how cool was Terrence Stamp? I mean, Terrence Stamp scared you when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kneel before Zod, you know. I mean, it was like you were like
he had more of that. Look to him.
He, that general, look of, he talked to you. You were like, "Okay, yes, sir, I'll do it." Okay,
and he kind of had that old serial bad guy look to him with his hair the way it was and everything, and that suit. It looked like the old fashioned black and white serial type bad guys that you would see in like the flat, like in Flash, and I don't want to say the Flash, in Flash because it's like two different characters, but and all that. So that's why I like
And how
him.
Great is the city battle at the end?
Yeah.
It's still, in all the comic movies we've had, Avengers, all of them, it's still one of my favorite. I love the city battle at the end where he gets thrown through the Coke sign, he's battling them all, he's trying to protect the people too, they use their wind to blow the people, it's really awesome. And it still stands up now 30 years later. It's still
Without a ton of CGI.
It's still a fantastic scene. Superman 2 is hands down just an excellent movie and probably the best Superman movie. Any other thoughts on Superman 2?
Love it.
Pretty much wrapped it up. It's the best one in the series.
Let's get to Superman 3. Okay, I know, Matt, that was your first Superman film you saw. I remember watching it as a kid having okay memories on it. You watch it now, you realize, wow, this is really bad. It's got Richard Pryor in it, who, another man, rest his soul. I love Pryor.
Me too.
Pryor's one of the best we'll ever have.
Just not the best use of him.
No, not the best use of him. But how fucking cool is the scene where Superman fights himself when he's drunk? It's so bad that it's fantastic. It's a really cool scene.
Superman gets drunk,
right? That's what's so stupid about it.
I mean, because in a sense, his metabolism is the same as a Flash, and it would take like a crap load of alcohol for it to stay in his system long enough for him to even get woozy.
But that scene is cool. It's probably the best part of the movie. You know,
Matt gets drunk every once in a while and wrestles himself, but that's a whole different thing.
That's only because Jackie won't let him wrestle her.
Yeah, I know, right? She's like, "Come over here." She like tosses me a pillow.
So, Superman 3, it may not be the best, but it had an impact on you because it was the first one you saw.
Yeah, and it had the fembot-looking things.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the bad guy?
Yeah, it was like a robot he created or something, yeah.
I actually found the deal on Vudu. For $20, you can get all four films.
I thought you were going to get one of the dolls.
No. So
sometimes those bundles are good. You might not get the best of the movies in. Like, I have the whole Rocky set. It was $20 for all the set. I may never watch Rocky 5 because I know I'm not a big fan of it.
I like Rocky 5.
But I bought the set for $20 for all of them on Blu-ray. All six movies. Like, hey, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
I was meaning to work myself up to 3. I'm on 2. I didn't get to 3 so I could refresh my memory because, you know, you sometimes focus on other things. I remember the, you know, computers having to turn two keys at once.
Right.
And, you know, how he was trying to do that, you know, Richard Pryor, the comedy within, situational comedy with that, the female robot bad guys. And I think I always mistook 4 as part of 3.
Mm-hmm.
I must have watched them back to back as a kid because I thought he fought himself by like a big old dumpster thing. Whenever in 3, I think that's 4.
Well, they used to run those things in marathons.
I don't remember
all the time.
Either. I'm very unfamiliar 4 because it's so bad. We'll get to that in a minute. But did 3 had a different Luthor?
Did it have a different Luthor?
That's the one that had a different Luthor, if I remember right.
I don't even remember a Luthor being in there.
You know, you could be right on that because I know Hackman sat out one film.
I think it was a different bad guy.
It was a different bad guy, but I thought there was a Luthor in it briefly.
Okay, so
this we're going to look this up because that's what we have.
Superman
internet.
There's going to be a pause, people, while they both whip out their phones.
Superman 3.
Race.
The casting for it: Richard Lester, of course, directed. Christopher Reeve, Richard Pryor, Jackie Cooper, Mark McClure, Annette O'Toole. Annie Ross, Pamela Stevenson, Robert Vaughn. Was it Robert Vaughn?
No.
Margot Kidder.
Robert Vaughn played
Graham
the bad
Stark,
guy, the Ross Webster.
Henry Wolfe, Robert
Beattie. Yeah, I guess it was a different bad guy.
How good was Jackie Cooper as Perry White?
Gene Hackman. O'Toole joined the familiar cast of Crystal Reed, Gene Hackman, and Margot Kidder. And this is number three. So Gene Hackman was supposed to be in it. 26% on Tomato Meter. So that shows how how good it was. And then number four had a 12%. So
Well, if we have nothing on Superman 3, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, was absolutely horrible. We did a show a few weeks ago, or last month, on Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films. And Superman 4 is produced by Canon Films. They bought the rights from Warner Brothers, where Warner Brothers was selling rights off temporarily before they obviously got the rights to Superman back.
Yes.
And Canon Films made Superman 4 A Quest for Peace, and it's absolutely horrible. They had said, let's make a movie where Superman fights himself, is probably what you're thinking.
Yes.
They create this nuclear man, which is similar to Superman. But it's Batman and Robin is bad. But at least it's got Batman and Robin in it. Superman 4 is so bad that Christopher Reeve regretted doing it. They paid him a lot of money to do it. And unfortunately, Christopher Reeve was a bit typecast after doing Superman. So he couldn't find a lot of work. So he kind of had to take the movie to have something to do. Hackman, I don't know how Canon Films talked Hackman into doing it. He must have just taken a paycheck at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if we said that Batman and Robin was toilet paper that we'd wipe our butts with, what does that make Superman 4 A Quest for
Peace?
The
stuff that we, reason why we wiped our butts.
Probably so.
That's a good comparison.
Or, what is it like, what's that one movie where, I'm going to butcher this, like you're somewhere between this, Con Air. To quote Con Air, we finally got, it took us 44 episodes, but we're going to finally get a Con Air quote on the show, where John Malkovich's character goes, I despise rapists. They're somewhere between the stuff that accumulates at the end of your mouth. That's how bad Superman 4 is. It's just like the spit on your mouth that you're just like, oh, terrible. And maybe that was a terrible analogy I just made right there, but that's how bad Superman 4 was. And it killed the franchise similar to Batman and Robin did. But Superman would make a comeback. But before we get to that, Superman has a bit of a life on television.
Yeah.
We had the George Reeve show in the 1940s. We had Superboy on television that ran the late 80s to marginal success. I don't remember this show for some reason. I was probably 11 or 12 years old, not paying attention to TV then. I was probably in my room reading comics or playing Nintendo. I just don't remember the Superboy TV show. Do you have any memories of it, Frank? You're a little year older than me, 2 years.
I vaguely remember. But it was so bad. Yeah.
But it somehow lasted in a couple of years. And then Superman made a comeback with Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman.
Now, I enjoyed that.
I remember that, was supposed to be a drama Superman show where it's his life as Clark Kent, but yet he's also protecting people. He would never show up as Superman until the end of the show. It starred the excellent Dean Cain. I still love Dean Cain. He's just one of those actors I appreciate seeing on TV. Terry Hatcher, who might be the hottest
Lois Lane
we've ever had.
Yep.
I mean, she's still a great-looking woman, and she's in her 50s. I mean,
really?
I think so. Yeah. She's got to be by now. And I would still take Terry Hatcher home any night of the week.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all would. And I have memories of watching Lois and Clark because I was in high school at the time and it was on TV. And that's one of your first television memories
because
you were old enough to remember seeing that.
And it was on every morning. So, you know, during the summers, whenever they would show reruns, I could get caught up on the season. I vaguely remember the kind of situations, but it was like, you know, a different situation every time. There were different bad guys. Didn't focus on the main bad guys every time, you know. And, you know, like you said, it was more the life of Clark Kent. And then, yeah, you know, every once in a while, you know, towards, you know, the end of the show, he'd have to turn into Superman and do something.
Yeah.
But, you know, he looked good in the part. You know, he looked like the 90s cartoon Superman, kind of.
Yeah. And that was another worrying thing where Superman was revitalized besides Lois and Clark. Batman, the animated series, was such a huge hit that they developed Superman, the animated series, which spinned off of Batman. Batman and Superman even guest starred together in one couple of the episodes. And that was a great incarnation. I love that a lot. We talked about how much we love Batman, the animated series, the last show. I really love Superman, too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite see every episode. I have the DVDs. I actually need to get caught up on them. And it's not Superman's first time in animation. He was on Super Friends. We talked about Batman being on Super Friends, which was something that me and Frank were very familiar with. You're a little too young for Super Friends. But we also talked about Batman and being on Super Friends. Superman was on Super Friends, too. Frank, you remember that?
Yeah.
And so Superman in animation. And so Superman, there was still a market for it because the cartoon was very successful. So Warner Brothers, after selling the rights off temporarily to Canon Films, began to try to get the rights back to Superman. And, of course, they finally did. And they figured out really how to get Superman back onto the big screen. And they started developing the movie for many years. Tim Burton, who was very successful with the Batman franchise, started developing a Superman film that he was going to film right here in Houston. There were some rumors it was either here in Houston or here in L.A., and it was going to star Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people have heard about this by now, and it was going to be called Superman Lives. There were several scripts going around Hollywood. Kevin Smith, who we've talked about on the show before, had written a script. But Warner Brothers thought that his script was too expensive, that they weren't going to be able to produce that kind of movie because it would have been very pricey. But that was back before they were spending $200 million for a picture.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't get it off the ground. The Nicolas Cage film fell apart. There are rumors of a script out there where Lex Luthor was an alien also, and Superman was an alien. They both had come to Earth. Just really ridiculous ideas to get to Superman on the big screen. There were glowing costume tests, which you can find all this online, where Superman's costume was going to kind of glow. The Nicolas Cage costume, you can find that online.
Yeah,
where that one was it was like armor-looking, sort of like the Batman costumes.
Yeah.
And nothing just ever
Superman
flew.
Superman doesn't need armor.
Right.
No.
Nothing just ever flew. And then Christopher Nolan comes along, and he starts getting the Batman Begins ready. So Warner Brothers also at the same time is trying to get a Superman film off the ground. So Bryan Singer, who was very successful from the X-Men films, leaves X-Men during The Last Stand to develop Superman Returns. So he starts looking for people to cast, and he, of course, casts an unknown in Brandon Routh as Clark Kent Superman. And he casts Kevin Spacey, which was a lot of people, fans' dreams for playing Lex Luthor in the mid-2000s. And so he develops a film. He decides he's going to pretend Superman 3 and 4 don't exist, and he's going to develop an indirect sequel to Superman 2, where Superman had left Earth for 5 years searching for his home, and he comes back to Earth and to find his place among society. It didn't quite take off at the box office. It did modest business, about $200 million.
Had a good opening scene.
There's some good things about Superman Returns. I didn't mind Brandon Routh.
Nope.
I didn't mind Kevin Spacey.
It wasn't the cast. The casting was great.
The opening is fantastic. It was really cool how they used a John Williams theme. I really like that. The opening credits, we talked about how Superman has great opening credits. He brought those back with the moving images and dialogue of the opening credit. The airplane scene is fantastic. It was one of the first comic book films to utilize IMAX. I actually saw it in IMAX 3D, but only had limited scenes in 3D because in 2006, we hadn't had James Cameron's Avatar yet or anything that made 3D huge.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, the airplane sequence is fantastic. The Lex Luthor plot is where the film falls apart. Is him using kryptonite to try to make a new kryptonite into space or to turn Earth into kryptonite was just absurd. It was very, almost too comic bookish. The fact that Superman comes across a little weak in it. He never throws a punch.
There's no fight scene.
There's no real fight scene in it other than the montage scene where he's saving people, remember? That's about the only kind of...
At this point, we've, had X-Men and all these other superheroes.
It's more of a
movie where there were, fights.
It's more of a moody Superman movie, in a way, where he's kind of creepy looking in on his... And he had a kid somehow with Lois Lane. Yeah. That was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
There were some really weird things about it. It's not a terrible film. It's better than Superman 3 and 4.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's not better than Superman 2, or Man of Steel. You know, I'd put it behind those. Right now, in the Superman lore, it's the fourth best film. We'll see where Batman vs. Superman lies. You know, wouldn't y'all agree? I mean, I know you're old enough for sure, Matt. You saw Superman Returns when it came out.
Yeah.
Thoughts on it? I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
It was good off the bat. I liked how it opened up with the airplane scene. But like you said, the plot was kind of unrelatable.
Well,
you know,
then, like I said, after the X-Men movies and all these other superhero movies, it was quite underwhelming.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You wanted to fight.
The Spider-Man trilogy.
You wanted to see some action, and the biggest action you got was he got stabbed and then lifted this big, giant island made out of kryptonite and threw it into space. I mean, it was like, okay. So
I think the best parts I liked about it were the opening sequence of the airplane where he first comes back. That was awesome. It's still a fantastic. And the music.
Yeah.
The fact they used a John Williams score. And Brandon Routh is great. I'm glad to see him now having success with Arrow. He's great as Ray Palmer. He made a little cameo in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad that he did not get typecast and has been able to have a career because I think he's a great young actor. I do like Brandon Routh. And they almost developed a sequel to it. It did do enough at the box office that they tried doing a Superman Returns sequel. Bryan Singer stayed on the project for a while, but only for so long. He decided to go back to X-Men, which we're glad he did because we all enjoyed Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah.
And Superman Returns 2 never happened. And that's okay. Warner Brothers sat on it for a while, and after the success of the Dark Knight trilogy, they asked Christopher Nolan to produce the Superman reboot. And, of course, we got Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, which is where we're at today in the DC Films universe, as Man of Steel is a kickoff for a new DC Films universe. We had the Nolan trilogy, and Warner Brothers told Christopher Nolan they would leave his trilogy alone and develop their own universe off of it. And that's okay. I think most fans are pretty satisfied with that idea. So Man of Steel comes along back a few, couple years ago, and it's finally that Superman movie that, as much as we love the Christopher Reeve movies, it's that Superman movie we've been waiting for. Flying around, kicking ass Superman.
Heck yeah.
Right. It's action-packed. It's maybe a little weak on plot, but it's an exciting movie to watch. I really like Zack Snyder as a director for the most part. I like most things he's done. I enjoyed 300, Watchmen. He seems to be like that go-to guy now for doing comic book films. He's going to do
Spirit. Didn't he do Spirit?
No, he didn't do the Spirit.
Ah.
He's going to do the Justice League Part 1. And, of course, he's director of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Man of Steel thoughts. You know, what did y'all think? I liked it.
Well, I was like one of those people.
You were very optimistic about it.
Well, yeah, that because of the last one. The issues that I kind of had with it was the whole him fighting basically military people from his home planet that had military training. I mean, I'm sorry, whether we had superpowers or not, if I was to go up against a military trained guy and we were on another planet where we had superpowers, he was still trained and equally matched.
But he was trained in his powers. They didn't have those powers until they got there.
Well, but I'm saying they still had skills in fighting where he just more True. Like had his strength. But like it was pointed out to me, they were here for a short period of time, so they weren't fully in tune
right.
with their abilities as he was, because he's been here pretty much, except for being a baby on his home planet here his whole entire life, where they were just here a short period, so it's not like they were fully in touch with everything that they could do, you know. And it's like you notice in the scenes where they were in Smallville or in the town and the small town that how those fights broke down. It was more of a them just throwing each other around because he was a little bit stronger than they were at the time because they hadn't started building up their abilities.
I mean, overall, I like the film a lot. I almost separate it from the Christopher Reeve films as much as I like Superman 2 and Superman the movie. As far as modern era, I really like Man of Steel. And if it wasn't for it's kind of similar to you with the Batman. You have a nostalgia love for Batman, so it's hard for you to put it above the Nolan films. I'm kind of like the flip-flop with you. I can put the Nolan films above Tim Burton, but when it comes to Superman, it's hard for me to put the Snyder film above the ones I grew up with. But I really liked it. The only scene that really bugs me in the movie is the Jonathan Kent scene. I'm sorry. I wish they would have stuck with the classic story of him dying from a heart attack, because Superman would have saved his dad. I don't care. Yeah. I hate that scene where he dies in the tornado. It really bugs the hell out of me.
Because he didn't want him to reveal himself.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but he can move so fast, he could have gotten his dad there quickly and the people wouldn't have noticed.
Right.
And that scene really bugs me in the film. Other than that, I like Costner as Jonathan Kent. I like Hans Zimmer's score he did for it. I like a lot of it. I think Russell Crowe is a great Jor-El.
Oh, yeah.
The fight sequences are extraordinary. And I like the fact that they're going to address the mass destruction in Batman vs. Superman, because there are a lot of people complaining about that. These superheroes are destroying everything. And I sit there and I always think as a fan, oh, it's just a movie, people, get over it.
No. You know? Here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. That was one of the other issues I had. But then I had to think about it. This is the first time he fought a big fight.
Right.
Yeah.
This has totally caught him off guard. And I think, honestly, in Batman v Superman, I think when he encounters Batman and everything and Bruce, he explains to him, the reason why I don't trust you and all this is because of this, what happened in the city. You didn't think about the people. You know, here you are, you could be thrown through buildings. These buildings were crashing down on people. I had to help pull people out of this rubble that you caused.
Yep.
You cannot take a fight to the city. Right. And I think I wouldn't be surprised that they try in this one. Hopefully, they address that and pull the fight as far away from the city as they can. But even though it might start there, that they kind of try to pull it, because I really don't want to see another fight in the city.
Have you seen?
I mean, we saw that. Well, we see that in Marvel, and we know where that's going to lead into this upcoming movie for that.
Yeah.
So,
have you seen Justice League War yet? Where
yes,
okay, they address that there too.
But I think overall though, I like Man of Steel. I think it was a really good Superman film. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I could have done without the chest scene where he runs out of the water for the ladies, and I'm just like, really, dude, you got to make all those other dudes look that bad?
Yeah. Like, I like the scene where he puts the rig
yes. up on the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
the guy pushes him.
Guys deserve
and
that.
He pushes himself back.
Yeah.
I wish I could do. I did like that approach. Kind of I did like that approach. I read people complain about that of Clark going away for a while to find himself and becoming kind of a mythical character about these stories about a guy who could do anything. I kind of like that approach because that's almost realistically how it would work if an alien was to come to Earth and they had to hide themselves. Like they had a good heart. But I think they probably would be a mythological type story to him. It kind of works for Superman. Mm-hmm. I like that approach they took in Man of Steel with that. But overall, I really enjoyed the film. I kind of wanted a direct sequel. I'm kind of a little... We may still get one. We may get a Man of Steel 2. I'm happy we're getting Batman v Superman, but I maybe would have liked to have seen a Man of Steel 2. I don't know.
I think it's because DC's pressured to put all these heroes in a movie together because Marvel... You know, they've been working since 2009 to introduce everybody, and everyone's had their own, you know, sequels and trilogies. And, you know, now, you know, I feel like Justice League, you know, has to happen fast.
I do and I don't.
Well, I see their point because we've already been saturated with Batman. So we don't need a Batman movie with Ben Affleck playing Batman by himself in a movie.
We've
already had a Superman movie, and we're going to get a Wonder Woman, we're going to get an Aquaman, we're going to get all these other heroes. They're going to have their own movie, so everybody's going to at least have their own individual movie before we merge into the Justice League movie.
And
we don't need three or four movies of each character like we've had with
I don't have a problem. And you're right, I don't have a problem taking a different approach to their universe. People feel like they're rushing, and I think maybe to an extent they are. But I think Warner Brothers is a smart enough studio that I think they'll do just fine with putting together this universe. And I think you're right, Frank. We've had enough Superman movies, enough Batman food movies that people are familiar with the origins. You don't need to retell them all the way. You know, even Man of Steel didn't completely retell his origin. It did it kind of in flashbacks, and it had an opening sequence, you know. But you're right. I think it's a good approach, and I'm really excited for the DC Films universe. I really am. I'm super excited for Green Lantern, The Flash, everything they're going to bring to us in the next 10 years. I love the Marvel films too, but I think there's enough place in the cinemas and in the world for all these comic book films. And I'm not afraid of oversaturation because I think all these characters are so mythological and so ingrained to our culture that I think people are excited for them, and I think they'll continue to make money. I mean, there hasn't been a real dud yet as far as box office. Not really. Yeah. Not in a while.
And let's be honest, when it comes to Marvel and DC, these are the two most beloved comic book companies out there with iconic characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you probably have your certain people that are just, oh, I'm just all Marvel, and people that are like, oh, I'm just all DC. But the general population is both. You know, you're going to be a Captain America and Superman fan. You're going to be a Spider-Man and Batman fan, or any one of those combinations. You know, it doesn't matter. And I like this pushing Wonder Woman, you know, to inspire young women.
I'm excited for
women
the Wonder
in general.
Woman film.
Mm-hmm. You know, that there's actually a push on a women's comic book. You know, it's like, I didn't see always, I mean, there was Wonder Woman comic books out there, but there was no, like, oh, check out Wonder Woman. You got to check her out now. You know, you're starting to see that now. And I love the fact that we're coming into a world where young women can be inspired by stuff.
Frank wants to be inspired.
No, that's not. But seriously. You know, and I just think that's really cool because if I had a daughter, I would want her to be strong, independent, but yet at the same time, still kind-hearted and loving towards people and not just rigid and thinking that she has to be a boy to be tough. You know?
And that there's tough women out there.
Yeah, and that they can still be a woman, but yet still be tough. You know, it doesn't have to affect your femininity to be strong.
Are you tough, Frank? Did that affect your femininity?
Tougher than you two.
You're getting too deep. You're getting here deep here. Okay. Yeah. How's your femininity doing?
Pretty damn good.
How are your moobies?
Pretty good.
You wearing a bra today?
No.
Nope. I was getting too serious there.
Hashtag
I feel like
any... you can see my nipples.
So before we
the heck?
Before we talk about some news briefs in a second. Now this is a totally unimportant question because it doesn't really matter because we know in the movie that they're going to end up allies. But in a true Batman versus Superman, who do you guys think would win?
Batman.
Why do you think Batman? Wait, because who do you think would win, Matt?
I think if Superman wanted to, he could end Batman's life. Just, you know, just laser vision right through his face. But
You're probably right. So you probably win, but
nope.
It's like, wouldn't he
reason
be,
why.
Okay.
Push come to shove. Superman would not kill Batman, I think,
would.
No,
all rules out the window. That's the thing. I should have said that when I asked this question. None of this, would they be allies? No rules out the window.
Oh, okay. Real quick, Superman, snap, your neck's broken. Let's move on.
No matter how smart
Batman
is.
Super fast. I mean, come on, he's as fast. I mean, I don't care how much special equipment, bat outfits, batmobiles, bat planes, gears, gadgets, computers, this, that. Fast as lightning, snap your neck,
and that's
game
why
over with.
I think even if there were rules where Batman or where Superman stuck with his no-kill rule, of course Batman doesn't kill either, I still think Superman wins the battle. I think he finds a way to, he may use a little violence, he would snap Batman's legs or do something just to slow him down and beat him, say, dude, you're not going to beat me. You know, Superman would somehow do it, I think. No matter how smart Batman is, kryptonite suit or nothing, I think Superman would move so fast, break his arm or something, take the ring off of him.
Suit, so I'll just stand back a couple hundred yards and just keep blasting you with my laser.
Yeah,
beams.
That's what I'm saying. I love Batman.
I'll throw big giant boulders at you.
As much as I talked about the last show, people know how much I love Batman. I have a Batman tattoo on me. I still think Superman wins the battle any day of the week. I just think there's no beating an alien from another planet with these ultra cool powers.
And if you've seen War, it's like Batman was very overwhelmed by Superman. I mean, it's an animated movie, but, you know, he throws his smoke bombs down. He gets back. Superman's like, I can still see you. And so he dodges some lasers.
I really liked in that animated movie the way they approached Superman.
Yeah.
You know, I really did like the way they
approached. Well, it's based on the new 52 comics.
But it's like everything Batman tried to do, you know, so he jumps up on like some steel beam or some construction. Superman, like, cuts it off with his laser vision, and Batman starts falling down. And then, you know, he throws the explosive...
Behind the rock, he's like, I can still see you.
Yeah, throws the explosive bat battering. And Superman, you know, he's, like, maybe distracted for a second, but then, you know, boom, Batman's in trouble again. So it's like, without, you know, it's like postponing Judgment Day. Judgment Day is going to happen. You can just delay it.
A second question, before we move on, what are y'all expecting from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice? Because by the time we record again, we will have seen the movie. What are you expecting from it?
Hopefully a lot of good action.
I think they're going to, you know, beat Apocalypse and say, and we're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Really?
We're the three best friends that, you know, like Hangover.
I'm expecting
the new original Musketeers.
Yes. I'm excited for the surprises in it because I do believe Zack Snyder says that there's some surprises we haven't seen. Looking forward to seeing Aquaman on screen. If the Flash and Cyborg appear or however they appear, I'm looking forward to the forming of the Justice League. Just from the trailer, the scene where Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, the Trinity are standing there, all those geek moments I'm looking forward to. And best of all, I hope it has a good solid story and it's just a good film. And that's kind of my expectations from it. I love Batman. I'm looking forward to seeing Ben Affleck in the role and how he pulls it off. I just want to see how it plays out. I want to see how Doomsday plays in. I want to see how Jesse Eisenberg does as Luther. And any other secrets we have coming from the film that we aren't aware of.
You know, there's been a lot of great scenes, like trailers and commercials for it up till now. But that one little short clip where he tries to ram Superman with a Batmobile and it just bounces off of him. That sold me for this movie.
It is
cool. That is by far the best scene that's excited me. I'll rewind that and watch that every time I see it.
One more thing I want from this film. All the haters that have hated on Ben Affleck the last 2 years, who haven't bothered to give a chance to watch Argo or The Town, some of his really good roles he's done lately. I hope he puts them in their places where they're coming out of the woodwork saying, Ben pulled it off. He did a great job. I really want to see that because, being, we talked about Kevin Smith very briefly in this episode, how he wrote a Superman script back in the 90s. We're Kevin Smith fans. We kind of grew up with Ben Affleck, at least me and Frank did, watching him in Kevin Smith's films. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you kind of root for the guy. He's made some cheesy films. He's made some really good films. I personally want to see Ben do well. I really do, and I'm looking forward to seeing him as Batman.
Just
to shut the fanboys up, too, man. You know? Because Daredevil's not his fault. He wasn't bad in Daredevil, his first try at superhero but film.
I want people to look at the history of dual superheroes.
Right.
Somebody plays a DC character, and then goes over to a Marvel character. And people love them.
That's a whole
other... Or they become a DC character, and they, you know, or Marvel, and switch over to DC, or DC to Marvel. Or they play one superhero in the same realm, and then play a different one. Their second superhero is like their best, and people are like,
Ryan
that's
Reynolds,
the role.
Chris Evans.
That's like, people go, that's the
that's
role.
That's a whole other show there. But
and now Ben Affleck.
So,
yeah. So that's what I'm thinking is going to happen here.
We're just a few days away from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and I can't wait. I'm really excited
it's
for
right
it.
Here around the corner.
I mean, we had Star Wars Force Awakens. We waited all of 2015 for. We enjoy Deadpool for what it is, but right now, other than Star Wars Rogue One coming out later this year, this is my number one film to see this year. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Even above Avengers? I mean, Captain America? Whatever.
I know
you
Matt.
I say Avengers because it looks like
Avengers
film,
2.5.
Yeah.
I know Matt has Captain America above it. Me, yes. Batman vs. Superman's above Civil War for me. Just because it's Batman. I will always put Batman first.
Right.
I'm very much looking forward to Civil War, don't get me wrong, but Batman will always come first. He's the one character that will eclipse any other movie for me. And that's just me. And that's just how I am. Yeah. So, yeah. So, moving on. As we discuss Superman, by the time you hear from us again, we will have seen Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, more dramatics. And we will talk about it. But we got some other news to talk about first. It was announced yesterday, which will probably be a few days from now when y'all hear this, Indiana Jones 5 coming to theaters in 2019. I'm kind of excited about this. Steven Spielberg's returning. Crystal Skull came out in 2008, and everyone was excited for it, hyped up. It was another one of those type films where the expectations were so high, no matter what they did with Crystal Skull, I don't think it was ever going to meet fans' expectations.
No.
And Crystal Skull really isn't as bad as people make it out to be.
I hated it, but then I started watching it, and now I like it. I still like it above Temple of Doom.
The Shia LaBeouf scene where he's swinging the monkeys is stupid, okay? I could have done without the CGI ants. That's probably my biggest problem with Crystal Skull is more CGI we've ever had in Indiana Jones. I wish they would have stuck with the practical effects. But I don't hate the movie overall. And I don't know if I put it above Temple of Doom. That's kind of because I used to not like Temple of Doom. I watch Temple of Doom now.
I respect it
a lot more than I used
to. Don't make me put my hand on your chest and utter the chant, Kalima!
Yeah. Kalima. I mean, I don't hate the whole movie. There's, like, elements of that movie I like.
Like the boulder and the snakes and the chick getting drunk.
There's a lot of things. Like
it's got
a
short round.
Yeah, that's I like that character. The whole when they come out of the plane and they're sliding down the mountain, that's kind of fun. But then once they get to Temple of Doom part, that's when it kind of
the Nazi
like,
flag.
Yeah, I have a hard time putting Crystal Skull above Temple of Doom. But anyway, let's talk about Indiana Jones 5. I mean, you got to kind of... Harrison has said we're going to do one more and get it right and go out on a bang. I think this is a smart way to do it. They were talking about rebooting Indiana Jones, and they may still do it with a different actor down the road. But I think it's good that Harrison's going to come back for one more. What are y'all's thoughts on Indiana Jones returning?
Is LaBeouf coming back? Or
I don't think so. He's probably in Crazy Town now.
He's a bodybuilder now. He is LaBeouf.
Yeah, he writes poets and stuff. I don't know. He's weird now. He got arrested in Austin for drinking or something a while back.
He got arrested in Austin for drinking?
I don't know.
You were supposed to go to Austin to drink.
So are you excited for 2019 Indiana Jones 5?
Heck yeah.
Let's see,
you know.
Always.
Old Harrison Ford in a rolling chair.
Well, I don't think that's a problem. He obviously did a great job as Han. He did a great job in Crystal Skull. I think Harrison will be fine.
I think so. As long as he doesn't give, you know...
I think they need to stay away from the nostalgia factor of Raiders. Don't bring back what's-her-name, you know,
The girl?
Yeah, leave her alone. Fresh new characters. Have it just an indie movie. Don't have all these other... Go back to what Raiders of the Lost Ark was, where it was him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have a damsel in distress, because that's Indiana Jones, just like James Bond. He's going to have a damsel in distress. But making an indie movie. I would love to see him go talk to John Rhys Davies and bring Sala back if they could. You know, I know Rhys Davies was upset that he was not asked to be in Crystal Skull. They didn't write him in. I would love to see that. You know, there's some things I would love to see, but I'm super excited. I'm a big Indiana Jones fan. And so 2019, it's only 3 years away. It'll be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. Years go by fast. It'll be here.
And so other than that, we got Daredevil fixing to hit Netflix. They released the final trailer yesterday. Very cool. Right? I know we're already excited for Daredevil.
Punisher. Oh, yeah.
The Punisher.
And I'm getting Jackie caught up. So
yeah.
She after the first episode, I was like, hey, it's not just a superhero series. I was like, it's kind of like Marvel meets, you know, Law and Order SVU. Yeah. It's
and it's another costume for him to dress his woman up in.
True. Get her in the horny costume, devil horns.
Yeah,
I was talking about the Punisher.
Oh yeah.
But right. Like a different kind of Punisher when it comes to the outfit.
Definitely, yes.
Marriott, my wife hasn't watched the first season yet either, and I'm trying to tell her she should watch it. Now, she's watched Jessica Jones with me, but she hasn't watched Daredevil.
Yeah, my wife's watched Jessica Jones as well. She liked that series.
And so Daredevil, Indiana Jones 5, that's about it as far as news until we record again.
Oh, yeah.
The next episode will be our Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And a little teaser here, there will be a new segment, speaking of my wife, on that episode of the show that we're going to debut with that kind of ties in with Batman v Superman. I'm not going to say the name of it, but something new we're bringing to Rebel Radio. Maybe not every episode, but it'll be kind of a new segment every now and then.
What is it, Mark v. Mary?
No. No, you'll have to wait Dawn and see. I can't tell you on the air because the listeners need to be kept in suspense.
No, I don't know. We're just guessing since you haven't told us.
So make sure you go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com for all your latest and geek happenings. Check out the weekly We Got You Covered. And if you're a fan out there and have your own comic book cover, send it to us. You can get the email there on the website. We'll show your cover of the week. And that's exciting. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all those good things. I think that's all. Anything you got, guys?
No.
All right. Well, this has been
Matt the Electric Monkey,
Frank T. Biscuit,
and faster than a speeding bullet,
Mark
can leap buildings in a single bound.
We ain't talking about the
host.
Yeah, I don't quite move that fast.
Leap a Lego block.
That's right. This is your host, Mark. Thank you again for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Until next time. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
All right.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.